We are kicking off a new series we are calling Summer in Place.
End of the spring, and here she comes back. High, 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 high day. Damn. Summer days, oh, summer days.
First up, a conversation about the staycation. A portmanteau that is really apt in 2020. We all need to stay in place to be safe, but vacation, as in time off from working, even at home, is really important for your sanity. So how does one plan a fulfilling break in the same space you've occupied every hour of the day for the past couple of months? And what if you can't take a few days off? How can you find ways to relax throughout the day? Terry Nguyen, a reporter covering technology and transportation at The Goods by Vox, embarked on her own staycation last month after canceling her 9-day trip to Barcelona, and she's done some of the research for us. Terry, welcome to All of It.
Thanks for having me, Allison.
AKA Team All of It, you are up. We want to hear from you, listeners. Have you changed your vacation plans? Are you still planning a getaway to someplace local? And does local mean your living room? How are you taking time off for yourself right now? How are you getting creative about this? Share your tips. Tell us about it. Our lines are open. 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. If it is more convenient for you to tweet at us or send us a message via Instagram, it's the same handle, @allofitwnyc. Okay, so Terry, this is one of those really strange facts that people, even under the most normal circumstances, 55% of workers reported they don't use their allotted time off. Some people think it's a waste of time to take time off now. Why isn't it a waste of time?
Well, pretty much for me, from personal experience, if I couldn't take time off, even though I'm working remotely, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to do that, I just think the entire scenario of experiencing a pandemic is just really stressful. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if other people feel the same way, but I find it a little hard to kind of distinguish and really draw a clear line between when I'm working and when I'm at home, because it's just so easy to kind of just go over to your corner, look at your computer, and, you know, check a few emails, while when you're, you know, just working and commuting, you kind of have specific habits that you don't go and do. And so, yeah, I just think it's really important that everyone can have that mental break, and a lot of experts really recommend it.
That's so interesting. You make a really interesting point that you might actually need to take a break more now because you could be working more hours, or the idea that your work is just seeping into all aspects of your life.
Yeah, it's really hard, I think. And I spoke to a career and personal advisor for my piece, and he suggested that people take micro breaks, or what he calls nano breaks. And it can be as short as like a 5-minute meditation session, or, for example, just to go out and take a walk in the middle of the workday. He said this really fascinating quote that kind of stuck with me. He's like, "You're the CEO of your own life if you're working from home, and you really don't have anyone kind of micromanaging what you're doing, besides, you know, being on Slack or having Zoom meetings." But that advice really stuck with me, and I've started taking walks in the middle of the day, kind of letting my editors know that I am, you know, just going out for a little bit. And it's really, really helped in making me feel more productive and feeling like I really do have a sense of a break.
So those are the little mini breaks. One of your colleagues at Vox recently reported that the case for outdoor spaces, for getting outside safely, obviously, is really important. And there's been a lot of reporting about this in the past 48 hours. What does this mean for New Yorkers? Or what kind of advice are people getting besides just taking a walk?
Yeah, I entirely agree that it's really important that wide-ranging public spaces like parks and beaches are open and a resource for people. I mean, in New York, the mayor announced that they're opening several streets for pedestrians, which is a great way for people to get more space without feeling like, you know, they're kind of crowded on a sidewalk with other people coming at them. And just from anecdotal experience, I read a lot of published op-eds from researchers and scientists who say that it's really important for us to go outside, get exercise, and our lifestyle or social habits are drastically changing. So I think it's important to have these spaces available for people to enjoy without, you know, being cooped up all day at home.
All right. So when you realize I'm not getting to Barcelona, What was your first step to plan a meaningful staycation?
I knew when I realized that Spain kind of shut down was that I needed to take a few days off. Like, clearly 2 days on top of a weekend isn't as much as 9 days in another country. But I really wanted to make sure that I wasn't anywhere near work. And so I kind of just tried locking out of all my social media accounts and my emails and really kind of writing down what I wanted to do. Some people don't want to have a to-do list and people just want to do whatever they want. But for me personally, it really helped to kind of structure things that I could do so that I just, you know, don't sit on my phone all day and then accidentally waste some time where I could, you know, be taking a walk or like baking something. And so it was really important for me to have those specific tasks for me to complete. And that made me feel more fulfilled, I guess.
That's so interesting. The idea that when you go someplace, you make an itinerary in the morning. So if you have a staycation, make an itinerary in the morning of what your day is going to be.
Yes. I kind of want to mention some tips I got from this person I spoke to who practices slow travel. And, you know, with staycations, he says that we can apply that mindset because it's not about really the destination, but about the traveler. And he really suggested, I wish he told me this before my staycation, but to take really long walks without your phone to kind of like simulate this feeling of adventure. And I think that's really good because for so long, we feel kind of dormant, or I personally feel dormant. And he suggested that maybe if you're in the suburbs or if you have a yard, you can camp out under the stars or like bring out a sleeping bag and, you know, change up your nighttime routine a little bit. So I found that to be really helpful.
My guest is Terry Nguyen. She covers technology and transportation for The Goods at Vox. She wrote a great piece, How to Have a Fulfilling Staycation When You're Sick of Your House. Let's talk to Emma from Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey. Hi, Emma. Thanks for calling All of It.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure to be on.
Tell us, you seem to have a really interesting option for people.
Okay, well, I'm calling from my home in New Jersey, but I'm actually a licensed professional New York City tour guide. And I'm president of the Guides Association of New York City, also known as GANIC, G-A-N-Y-C. And we have lots of incredibly talented guides who are producing virtual and online content for people to have little vacations, have little tours from the safety and comfort of their own homes. And once the city reopens, professional guides are busting to get out there and show you around. And so we're a great resource and a great resource for your staycation in the five boroughs, for tri-state residents to get to know New York City in a different way. In fact, we'll be having an initiative launched soon called Tour Your Own City. But for now, there's a lot of online content, which is a lot of fun.
And is there a certain website people should go to, Emma?
Yes, if you go to the Guides Association website, it's ganyc.org. That is our main website. And when you get onto the GANIC website, you'll see we have a whole section about COVID-19 resources, including virtual content. And so we have really fun tours to do that. For example, getting to know Ladies Mile, the tour that I do virtually. We have a great guide who just did a highlights tour of the best New York City bakeries. And a lot of them are open for business. So you can go and get some takeout. You can order things. You can even have stuff shipped to you. So the best cookies in New York City, the best cheesecake in New York City. So we're always offering lots of fun virtual content. And there are guides that do it every week. There are guides that do one-offs for different online, in different online venues. So that's a really fun way to get to know your city.
Emma, what a great resource. Thank you so much for calling in. If you want to join this conversation, our number is...
Yeah, check out.
I'm going to wrap up because I've got a couple other people on the line, Emma, but thank you so much. Our number is 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280 if you want to join this conversation. If you want to join this conversation, let's go to Jared, who is on line one. Hi, Jared.
Hi. I'm echoing. Emma's my president, and I'm echoing that. So there people can tour their their own neighborhood. And a lot of us as New Yorkers, we walk by buildings that we see every day and statues. Sometimes people want to learn more about where they work or check out a different area. Some Manhattanites think that they need a passport, but all they need is a Metro card to go to the other boroughs of New York City. So people can discover some new things. When it's safe to do so, the Guides Association of NYC, GANIC.org, will be advising when such tours are available.
Jarrett, thank you so much for calling in. My guest is Terry Nguyen. She has been writing about staycation. So Terry, you know, travel experts predict when people be able to travel again, they're probably going to want to stay pretty close to home, either drive or take the train. Amtrak is saying you have to have masks. Are there any sort of close to home places that you would recommend?
In New York?
Yeah.
I actually just moved to New York in August. So I personally really do feel like a tourist in my own city. So I can't really recommend that, although I have been upstate a few times.
So you also, last month, you reported the airlines, they're still flying crowded planes, and you spoke with travelers and the airlines. What did you find out?
Yeah, so I think there's this big impression that people aren't going anywhere, and so there aren't a lot of people flying. But just take a look on Twitter, and I noticed that there are a lot of people complaining that most of their flights are really full and they're unable to comply with social distancing. Shortly after I published my piece in, I think, late April, several airlines say that they're starting to mandate masks for all passengers starting in May. And so I think that was something that would bring a lot of peace of mind to passengers. But you really have to read the fine print if you really have to fly. For example, American Airlines told me that they are trying to reduce capacity, but they're not entirely sure whether they can. The middle seat might still be booked on your flight, and the same goes for United. Delta, I believe, says that they're reducing passenger load and they're not booking the middle seat. And so, for a lot of different airlines, there's a lot of different rules that they're trying to comply by. And that's changing very quickly, too, as more news kind of develops on the coronavirus. It's kind of a scary, uncertain time to fly.
And as someone who has completed one of these staycations, for someone who's thinking about doing it, you said make an itinerary. Is there something else that you wish you had known before you'd done your staycation that you know now?
I actually really wish I honestly just went outside more. I felt like I really took staycation to heart and stayed indoors.
Terry Nguyen is a writer for The Goods by Vox. Terry, thank you for spending time with us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.